The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Alyssa.
And I'm Amy. How are you this week?
We are in a heat advisory. It's been over 100, like 6 days straight.
All right. So we had a couple of heat waves, couple of days of them, I should say. And it was just like 2 days. And I thought that was awful. But 6 days sounds even worse, obviously. So I'm glad I'm not you.
Yeah. It's so hot. You like don't want to go outside.
Mm-hmm. Who would?
But, you know, if you read some of the media, COVID doesn't do well in heat, so we'll call it a win.
Always looking at that silver lining. I like it. I appreciate it.
I don't even know if that's accurate, because some places say it's true, some places don't. I try not to, like, wrap my head around all of it, because I can't.
Right, right. I mean, there's just been way too much perseverating on the whole COVID thing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it should be a thoughtful thing, but, you know,
100%.
You could really drive yourself into a depressed state or something by overthinking it.
You could go down about 81 rabbit holes, and they're not even interesting ones. You like that?
Well, do you want to give us something interesting?
I do. All right, so I actually had another case almost prepped and ready to go, and I was, you know, full trigger, like, okay, let's roll with this one. And then someone emailed us, and I'll shout out Meredith, emailed us this week, or I guess actually last week, and said, hey, I'd like to hear about your opinions on this case. It's a North Carolina case, and there are cell phone records.
Oh, I know where that went. You were like, I gotta know.
Yeah, I was like, I'm in.
Yep.
So I like, did a quick Google, and then already, I'll just tell you, his date of birth is 9/24/83, so he's literally our age.
Mm-hmm.
He went missing in 2007, so he was like 24, and I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to change gears and, you know, jump on it. So today, we're going to talk about Kyle Fleischman.
Okay,
so Kyle was born, like I said, September of 1983. He had a pretty close family. He had a younger sister and a younger brother, and his parents were Dick and Barbara, and they were pretty close. They moved to Charlotte, North Carolina in 2000. So Kyle was roughly 16 or 17.
Uh-huh.
He then went to Charlotte Catholic High School and then went to Elon, which is a liberal arts college in North Carolina. It's like one of America's most beautiful colleges.
Oh.
Literally, that's what it's like known for. He graduated college in 2006 with a degree in business, which is the year we graduated college, not to date us at all.
I don't know about you, but I graduated in like 2020.
Well, I graduated in 2019 with my master's, so I hear you.
Trying to stay young.
So either way, but that's sort of what connected me. When I find someone that I can identify with their experience in a time period, it intrigues me because we were living in the same world. It's not like we're having a conversation where you're like, remember, this is a world without cell phones, or this is rural Alaska. You know, we don't have to remind ourselves of those kind of facts.
Yeah.
So it's an easier conversation, in my opinion. So, close family, graduates college, moves in with a roommate, doing all the things. So in the fall of 2007... his family got some news that sort of rocked them all. Barbara got a cancer diagnosis. And as someone whose dad has been diagnosed with cancer and has been diagnosed with cancer themselves, hey.
Yes.
I really, truly understand the impact of those words and those conversations and, like, the days that surround that and looking ahead. So Kyle wanted to plan a night out to, like, enjoy a night with his mom and, like, have some sort of normalcy. And I remember when I got diagnosed, it was so important for me to feel like normal life was going to continue. I couldn't let it consume me. So I totally understand where he's coming from and being like, nope, let's do something. Let's have a good night, whatever.
Right.
So he heard Dane Cook was coming to Charlotte and he was like, great, it's a comedian. If you've never seen Dane Cook, you should have. He's hilarious.
I have. I mean, probably more like back in 2005 or 6, but yes.
That's really funny. So I called my sister when I was researching this, and I was like, when did we drive to New York City? My sister and I drove with two of our friends to New York City to see Dane Cook at Madison Square Garden in 2005. So I get it. Like, it's one of those fun nights. It's an experience. So November 8th, 2007, mm-hmm. Kyle, his sister Noelle, I think it's how you pronounce it. I haven't heard it in interviews. It's N-O-E-L.
Okay.
If it's pronounced somewhere different, I apologize. His mom, Barbara, and his best friend, Daniel, all meet at Daniel's house. Daniel lived closer to the Bobcat Arena, which is where the show was. So they parked cars there and took a cab to the show, figuring, like, it's easier to get in and out in a cab. And if we have drinks, like, everyone's good, whatever. Sure. So they go to the show. They have a great time. And after the show wraps up, Barbara and Noelle decide to go back home, which shouldn't shock anyone. This is mom. Like, but Kyle and his friend Daniel were like, no, let's go out and hit a few bars. I mean, they're 24. That seems to be.
Yes.
A normal activity. Right. So they head to the Buckhead Saloon.
Right.
It's not an Ugly Tuna Saluna, but it's the Buckhead Saloon.
No, all I just saw was, like, the Wild Wild West, but I'm sure that it's not.
Well, I mean, it is the South. So.
Fair.
Okay, so they have a few drinks. They have a good time. Kyle starts chatting up a girl, and they're having a really good conversation. Daniel decides about 1 a.m. that he's done. I'm going to go home. It's been a long night. But Kyle is enjoying his conversation with this young lady.
Okay.
And doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
So Daniel's like, all right, well, peace. And Daniel goes home.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for guys, it's a lot more normal.
I was just thinking what you're about to say. And even hearing it, you're like, well, he's a guy, you know, like guys. You just think that aside from a bar fight or something like that, nothing would happen to them. Like, they're not at risk.
We haven't gotten to the bar fight yet.
Okay, so they're not at risk of predators and things like that. But that's probably the thinking that gets us in trouble.
Oh, agreed, 100%. But I thought the same thing. I couldn't imagine at 24 just leaving my friends at the bar. But either way.
Right.
For guys, I feel like it is much more normal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where the fun starts. So, apparently, there's surveillance video, and I cannot find this video anywhere, but everyone speaks it as truth, and I'm going to assume if the media is all reporting it, they just haven't released it.
Okay.
But whatever. Of Kyle getting into a verbal altercation with two or three men, it leads me to believe that the camera, like, wasn't great, and there are more people standing around, and they can't tell how many he's having an altercation with.
I see.
But it's just a verbal altercation. Now, there are multiple reports that this is the girl that he's been talking to's boyfriend.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be the first time or the last.
So there are actually, and I'm going to jump ahead for 1 second, but there's actually a couple reports of him outside the bar with her again after. Now, that's not widely reported. It's in a couple articles. But part of me wonders if it was a jealous ex-boyfriend.
Could be.
Because she hasn't spoken out. Like, she's never come forward and been like, this is the deal. Probably because she's want to be involved.
Right.
But, and that's just me speculating. But part of me wonders if she's seen again with him later, if it was an ex.
I see. Okay.
Either way. So, Kyle heads out of the bar shortly around 2:20 a.m. Now, there are reports that he forgot his jacket and debit card, which he did leave them. I mean, he didn't bring them home with him. However, I think it was a combination of alcohol and wanting to get the hell out of it because of the altercation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just like, all right, I want to go. Forgot he had a tab and forgot he brought a jacket.
Right.
I mean, as we've learned, women leave shoes at the bar.
Yes, this is true. But cards and stuff, people do that quite often.
Agreed. So, either way, so he leaves that a coat and a debit mm-hmm. card. Okay. Now, like I said, he may have been seen with this girl outside. Maybe he wasn't. But either way, he's seen on multiple surveillance cameras outside, walking down the street. It's about a quarter of a mile to this place called Fuel Pizza. They're open till 3 a.m.
Okay.
So they're like a post bar snack.
Yeah, right? People go to get food and hang out after the bars are closed.
Right. So he went in there and orders two slices of what I would call meat. On meat, on meat, on meat, on meat, on meat, meat pizza. They call it everything, but it has like 71 meats.
Oh, okay.
And now the cashier says she remembers Kyle. And he seemed to be under the influence. But they don't have video surveillance. And at first I was like, well, how does she know? Like 100%. So, maybe you guys recall from the Robert Barron episode, I know someone that manages a pizza shop. So I called him and I was like, okay, real talk. Do you remember a customer that comes in? And he's like, if he was drunk, probably. If he was, you know, thought he had a debit card and suddenly didn't and had cash, I'd probably remember that. He's like, it doesn't weird me out that someone remembered him. And I was like, okay.
It doesn't weird me out that someone remembered him, but to make the assumption that someone's drunk. I mean, this is a place where people leave to go after a bar is closed. So.
Now, they said that he seemed to be under the influence is what is speculated. But.
At the end of the day, what difference does it make?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Like we talked about on the Lion Spirit episode. I don't care if they are blackout drunk. Doesn't mean that we don't need to know what happened and they didn't, you know, like, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. I'm just saying, like, does it really impact where this is going next?
So, maybe.
Okay. All right. Fair.
I would say similarly then to the Lauren Spear episode in that the intoxication probably did play a role in what happens. So he gets to the pizza restaurant around 2:30. Now, I do want to say at 2:19, right as he was walking out of the bar, he called his sister. She didn't answer. He didn't leave a message. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, he gets to the pizza shop around 2:30. Between 2:42 and 3:25, he makes 7 phone calls.
All right.
Now, everyone lists it as a business he visited earlier in the day. My assumption is he calls the bar he left his debit card and code at and was like, crap, I can't get home without a debit card because I can't pay for a cab.
Mm-hmm.
So they just call it a business he went to. I'm going to make the assumption he called the bar.
logically, that would be a good guess.
He also calls his roommate, his father's office, and I will say everyone makes a lot of like, oh my gosh, he called his father's office, not his cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I could almost chalk that up to him being drunk and just hitting dad over and over again and not realizing he was calling his office phone and not his cell phone.
I've been known to do that.
So at 3:28, he calls his best friend. 3:29, he calls his roommate. So he's making multiple phone calls. My speculation is he realized without a debit card, he can't take a cab home. And he needs to get home. And he's like, hey, can someone wake up and come pick me up?
That's a great guess.
Because he calls a variety of people, like his sister, his roommate, his best friend, his dad. you know, it's kind of like you start with one and then you're like, oh crap, yes. They didn't answer. They didn't answer. Ugh. Let's keep going.
That's scary.
Oh, it's super scary. So, by the way, at 4 a.m., his phone is dead and there's no more activity.
So 3:25 was the last call that was made?
3:29 is the last call.
So there's a solid half hour or so that we don't know what happened.
Yes and no. Yes, yes, with his cell phone, correct.
Okay.
Now, I want you to know that a cab driver says they saw Kyle walking on a part of town called Noda, which is about a 20-minute walk from the bar. It was not a great area back in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason the cab driver says he remembers him is because he had a t-shirt on and no jacket, and it got down to 30 degrees that night. So the cab driver was like, why is this kid in this area, no jacket and t-shirt?
Right.
On? Some people reported as fat. Some people say it's a possible sighting. Now, just so you know, if the cell phone pings and the sighting are both accurate, they're 25 minutes apart. And it's about a 25-minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally possible.
Yeah.
So the next morning, Daniel wakes up and Kyle's car is still in the driveway. And he sees the missed calls from Kyle. So he calls Kyle. Obviously, his phone is off. He calls the roommates. They haven't seen or heard from him at all. So he calls Kyle's parents and is just good. Like, hey, he didn't. Yeah, I agree. Hey, he didn't come home last night. Like, his phone's off. And I gotta say, for Daniel, this is a good thing because, I mean, how does he know he didn't just go home with that girl? And now he just blew up a spot to his parents.
Right.
You know, but I would say it's a good thing he did.
Yeah.
So then Daniel calls the cops also. Because Kyle's parents are like, well, let the police know. Whatever. Then Daniel does something that we think is pretty common, but I've heard multiple reports of this. He created the first ever missing person Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Because Facebook was blowing up. It was 2007.
Yes.
So he created a page, and, I mean, apparently it had thousands and tens of thousands of views.
Well, very clever and innovative at the time.
Yeah. So I do want to say that, like, Kyle's parents are pretty vocal and have said things that, like, the media doesn't report as fact. So I'm going to tell you some of those things. Like, Kyle's dad did say his cell phone pinged in the Noda area, which is where the cab driver saw him.
Uh-huh.
But police have not reported that, or media has not reported that as, like, fact.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's take it for what it wants. Over there, in this part of town, there's an area called Cordelia Park. It was notorious for gangs, drugs, homeless.
Okay.
All of the things. This is sort of where he was seen. They brought in cadaver dogs, and they had to call it quits because the park was too dangerous. Which, I'd love to hear a police statement on that, because these are, like, media reports. But I'd like to know, like, police officers don't get to say something's too dangerous.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm just surprised. When I hear park, I'm thinking of, like, with baseball fields and...
I go to, like, Leakin Park, where Heyman Lee's body was found.
Well, even that, I didn't expect to be so vast.
Now, I will say, oh, by the way, this is the end of, like, the real story. There's no other fact or information.
Okay.
In 2009, so 2 years later, a federal judge actually executed a search warrant on a North Davidson Street, which is Noda, North Davidson.
Uh-huh.
The area was sealed, and the judge actually sealed the documents. So we actually don't know the results of the search, other than if they would have found him, we probably would know that, right?
Yeah.
Because, so they, whatever they found, they have sealed it.
All right.
There's been no activity in his bank account. His phone never turned back on after that 4 a.m. So, theories? There are sort of... I don't think he died by suicide. I don't think that he decided to walk in somewhere and die by suicide. That being said, there are sort of three theories. One is he couldn't deal with his mom's cancer and walked away. One is, well, foul play, and then there's two within foul play. It's random. And then the guys at the bar. And then on Reddit, there's a huge dwell, I guess, for a potential accident. But y'all know, I struggle with, oh my gosh, we killed someone. Let's hide the body.
Right. I know you do.
So I've talked. What do you think so far?
Well, suicide didn't cross my mind, and maybe he couldn't deal with his mother's diagnosis. But on the other hand, I feel like when you're dealing with the stages of grief, if you will, you know, you're kind of in denial or maybe a little hopeful at the beginning, like, we're going to get through this. Okay.
And I do want you to know that his mom ended up being, she's a survivor, and his parents live in Florida now.
Great. I mean, so I'm glad to
hear. I should have said that in the beginning.
No, that's great. I'm super glad to hear that. I just think and wonder if this well-dressed guy in this bad part of Pet Town met some foul play.
Okay, so sure, I hear you, right? Like 100%. But then where is he?
Okay, so maybe because he left his card, he's kind of scrambling, trying to figure out what to do. And someone sees this nice guy or nice looking guy. He's well dressed. He's alone. Thinks he maybe has money on him, a whole lot of cash. Tries to rob him, finds there's nothing on him, but they've already, you know, tried to take his stuff. And they end up killing him. And they have to hide the body. I know that's, like, really specific, but for some reason, I can kind of see this playing out in my head.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. One thing I do want to mention is on Reddit, there's some speculation that he may have not been a fun drunk. And I have two things to say about that. One, it's almost like a breath of fresh air to hear people saying they didn't necessarily light up a room. There's this meme that I send to people that are like, if I ever die or go missing, please don't tell everyone I lit up a room and everyone loved me, because they don't. You know, so it's almost like a breath of fresh air for people to say, I've been at parties with him and he wasn't necessarily fun drunk or all of those things. Well, first of all, he's in college. Mm-hmm. Chalk that up to whatever. But I actually think that makes him a more of a real person than it does cloud anything for me.
That's true.
I hate reading articles and every single person's like, she was the best person in the world, an angel. Okay. I'm not saying we should taint their memory in any way, shape, or form, but can we also be a little bit real? Everyone has something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the first thing that people would say is, I'm weird. She was weird. She was a different girl.
But amazing. It didn't detract from who you are as a person.
No, and I certainly, you don't deserve, I don't deserve, no one out there who has ever been in a situation deserves anything to happen to them out of their control.
Agreed, 100%. So part of me wonders, like, does he not back down from an altercation? Because if someone did try to rob him, or whatever, does he not back down, which makes it worse?
That's a possibility.
But then also, these guys, was it just like a yelling match in the bar and that was the end of it? They've never been labeled in people of interest. They've never been labeled suspects. They've never been labeled anything. You know, and obviously there's no surveillance in the pizza shop. So one of the things that I will say about the pizza shop is, aside from it not being weird that they recognize him later, is when his dad was told what they ordered, his dad was like, that's his order. For example, if someone told my husband I walked into a pizza shop and ordered a vegetarian pizza, my husband would be like, are we sure? Or if I ordered a meat lover's pizza, he'd be like, I'm pretty sure she eats like plain cheese pizza because she's bored.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, you know, if someone told me my husband went into a pizza shop and ordered plain cheese pizza, I'd be like, did you not have any meat? Because my husband eats meat in his pizzas.
Right. I see what you're saying.
So it makes me, like, kind of validate when they told his dad that, and he was like, well, yeah, that's his order.
If he didn't go there, which I believe that he did, but if he didn't...
I do, too.
How much more time would that add on to the window of potentially not knowing exactly where he went after he left the bar?
30 minutes or so. But keep in mind, he was making phone calls to those people.
Yes. And honestly, like, if you're being followed or about to get jumped or something, I don't think that you would, A, have time, but be thoughtful enough to call everyone in your phone book. You would probably call the cops or something.
100%. I agree with that.
So I believe that he did go to the pizza shop and something very quick happened to him, because in order for him to complete those calls, he probably wasn't in a stress state, or at least a stress state where he was physically in danger.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. I think that, like, the last phone call happening right around 3:30, I think whatever happened after that.
Yes.
I think that he realized, in my opinion, this is just me speculating, his phone was dying, and he was trying to get a hold of people and was like, okay. And then was like, I just got to start walking and I'll try again in a little bit. And then whatever happened.
I think that that's the most plausible scenario. When I'm out in the cold, I'm trying to walk to kind of maintain temperature and everything. Like, I can't see just standing there with no plan, doing nothing.
Now, I will say, there is speculation, and I mean, take this for what you want, that all those calls were to say goodbye.
I feel like if you were going to say goodbye, wouldn't you leave some type of message if you went to the trouble of calling them?
Yeah, and his dad says that he was probably looking for a ride. But I'm just saying, people speculate that he was not leaving voicemails, and some of the calls were only 6 seconds long, which I don't know, that sounds really short, but when it rings, I feel like that's a normal time.
I would want to know the order and time of the calls, because at
midway through,
perhaps you're like losing faith that anyone's going to pick up. So you give it a couple of rings, no one picks up, move on to the next. And I also think that if you were calling people to say goodbye and you really wanted to plan to die by suicide, then, and he really meant it, and it wasn't like a cry for help or something, there's more of a risk of calling people and having them pick up the phone than to leave voicemails, because someone could have just said, oh my gosh, I'm calling the cops, and the cops are going to stop you.
I mean, I agree. So you're right. It's the last calls that were short. 328 and the 329 were both 6 seconds.
Yeah, so to me, that's just, I'm giving up hope. I gotta, you know, move on to a new plan.
And obviously, I want you to know, like, he had no cash on him. So, like, it's not like he took a cab. He had his debit card. 2007, we live in a world with cards.
Yes.
I don't know. I think that it's just a weird situation. I just struggle with, like, he just disappeared. He just vanished.
Okay, so I live in a town that's close to a bigger town, and I'd call it a hub, maybe. There's a row of bars, there's restaurants, there's always people walking up and down the street. And almost all the time, I'm passing someone, like, I'll go and park my car to go to a restaurant, and I'll pass at least one person that says something to me. And I just keep walking because I want to be safe. I want to get to where I'm going or whatever. It just seems totally plausible that someone would have said something to him or approached him, and neither of them got off on the right foot, and something terrible resulted from that altercation. And if you hurt someone, I mean, in the age of DNA, or not even, I mean, you likely might hide the body.
I mean, I guess. There's also speculation of, like, did he try to go home with this girl? Who knows what happened? And I think it's very much like, in my opinion, it's very much like the Brian Schaefer case. We have no idea what happened after that. You know, we can speculate all we want, but no one has any ideas. Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't think Kyle left his life. His mom was about to undergo surgery for her cancer. You know, I don't think that.
Agreed.
And if you're going to compare him to the Brian Schaefer case, Brian Schaefer's mom had passed. It's a little bit different than her gearing up for what could be the biggest battle of her life.
Yeah.
And, like, another thing is, could he have been looking for a ride and got in a car with the wrong person? Like, maybe. You're assuming he got jumped or something.
Well, maybe.
But he didn't have a ride home.
I just feel like that would be, maybe.
Like, but here's my thing, too. Like, why leave Fuel Pizza in that case? Why not try to see if someone there can, like, help you get a hold of
someone? What time do they close again?
I don't know what time they closed. I think it was 3.
Maybe he felt like they were starting to close up and needed to get out of there.
I mean, yes. I don't know.
It doesn't look good.
No, I mean, it doesn't at all. I truthfully don't think it was someone he knew or encountered. Like, I don't think it was those guys at the bar. I don't think it was someone he knew. I think it was random gang violence. But then I say, why hide the body?
Yeah, like, why not leave it there?
Right, like, if it's just some random crime, who cares? And I'm not saying it that, like, that callously. But if it's, the reason you hide a body is because you could be connected to it. And it's not like they just dragged it off the roadway. There's literally no anything.
Yeah, I guess I struggle with that, too.
Like, if it was a random drive-by shooting.
Yes.
Right? They're not going to go and be like, okay, now we have to hide the body guy.
Yeah.
Which talks me back into someone he knows. I don't know.
Right. I mean, it's not like he walked into the ocean.
And not for nothing, if someone was going to rob him, right, wouldn't they take his cell phone, but then they never turn it on again?
Not necessarily.
What would you rob him for? He had no money, no wallet.
Yeah, but maybe before they discovered that there was no money, maybe he was really injured.
It's not impossible. But he literally had nothing.
Did they ever find his phone? I'm sorry.
Mm-mm. No.
I mean, it's far-fetched, but what if he took a picture of the people that were following him or something?
Very a la Delphi murders?
Well, yeah. Yes. I don't know if he would have thought to.
Okay, but I'll say this. There is now a $50,000 reward, and no one has come forward. If it's a gang, you don't think anyone in that gang is willing to sell someone out for $50,000?
Oh, gosh, no. They'd pay with their life. And if it wasn't them, it could be a family member or something.
Fair.
And even if you confidentially did so, I don't know if you can hide $50,000 from people that are like your family.
Yeah. And I mean, Kyle's parents hired a private investigator. They, you know, did all the things. His parents believed that he was drunk and he got jumped.
Yeah.
My question, though, then is, where is his body?
Yeah, I guess that's where I'm stuck.
And, you know, there is a very a la Brian Schaefer, there is a construction site that obviously in 2009, the judge had them searched. Nothing was found. Well, we don't know nothing was found. Kyle wasn't found, right?
Yeah.
But a listener actually, I don't know if she DM'd us or Facebooked us, and I apologize for that. But either way, her point was that they search and they inspect meticulously before. Now, I'm not saying nothing can get by them. You know, I'm not saying it's not possible. But I think her feedback was about the Brian Schaefer case was someone missed something big, if that's what happened.
Correct. It's not as if they don't take a look in a pit that they're pouring.
Right. Now, again, I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's just something to, like, think mm-hmm. about, you know? Yep. And we don't know if his phone was, like, shut off or lost power. It went off around 4 a.m., and that's that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Melissa. I think that this is one of those cases I always say that we think too much about, and it's probably something that isn't too far-fetched, probably encountered some foul play. I don't know why someone would go to all that trouble to hide or dispose of a body, but honestly, it's still not that hard for me to believe that someone would go through all that. So at the end of the day, that's what I think.
I mean, I probably agree with you that it is just a random crime. I just get stuck on it being them hiding the body and then what? You know, I don't understand how. Why? If you can't get tied to it and it's a complete random crime, why? How? Like, how? I don't understand why you need to go through the trouble of, like, putting the body in a vehicle, disposing it somewhere else. Like, that's where you get caught.
I mean, you're probably right.
If you shoot someone or beat someone up in a park and no one is around, why then drag him to the street, put him in your vehicle? Because you're not going to put him over your shoulder and hike 3 miles.
Right. It could have been someone driving by him.
Right. And then did they offer him a ride and he gets
in? Or they abduct him. Like, with maybe an intention to rob him as not to be witnessed on the street or something.
I mean, that's more possible than him getting mugged in a park and then them disposing of the body.
Agreed. So, I mean, that's another plausible one. But, yeah, I think it's foul play. And if anyone agrees that it's foul play, what reasons do you have for going through all that trouble to dispose of a body?
Yes. Please tell us what you think. We love hearing it.
Yes.
So.
I feel like it's just worth saying because this is, I don't know, the fourth, fifth, sixth case maybe that we've done where someone goes missing after they disappear from a group of at least one or more people after a night out. So please take good care of your friends. Make sure that you have money on you. Make sure that you have your phone charged before you go out. Don't leave your friends. Don't have your friends leave you. Not shaming anybody. We've all been there and done it, but just a friendly PSA to all of you. And also, my friends and I sometimes track each other with the Find My iPhone app. If you have an iPhone or something similar, definitely use that.
And for you younger people, apparently Snapchat has that too. My little cousin has everyone on her Snap map.
Yes. Yeah. And at the end of the day, if you have no to get a ride or something, call the police department.
Yes. Or go to a business owner and just say, hey, listen, this is where I'm at. Like, my phone's going to die. I don't have a ride. And, you know, if they won't help you, then call the police. But don't just be like, well, I guess I'll walk home in the cold.
Right. So do all you can to watch out for each other. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Amy sounds like a mom, but yes. I agree.
All right. Well, if that's all you have, thank you. And I'm glad to get that out there. And guys, we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Have a good one.
Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.